we're diving into one of the toughest topics for coaches or any entrepreneur for that matter, raising your prices. We're going to unpack the mindset, strategy, and confidence it takes to charge what you're really worth. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Welcome to our latest episode, everyone. We're grateful that you are here today. And we are grateful to have an amazing friend and an amazing business owner, Mark Mawinney. And Mark is the owner of Natural Born Coaches. And today we're going to talk about raising your prices. So welcome to the show, Mark. It's lovely to have you here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mark, before I even ask you to tell us about you and your business, I'm going to give you a shout out right off the bat. So Mark has an awesome Facebook group, Coaching Jungles, and he also has a VIP program within that group. So if you guys are looking to join an awesome Facebook group, we will definitely put the link in the show notes. He has fostered just this really warm community of people that truly want to help each other. So if you're a coach and you're looking for that kind of group, we'll definitely recommend Mark's group. So Mark, that's how we met you, was through your Facebook group. Tell us a little bit about your journey into coaching and helping people with their pricing.
Well, thank you for being in the group, by the way, and for contributing a lot. So I appreciate it. It's always tough to try to condense a lot of years into a 30-second, here's my deal. My background was in real estate. I did that for about 10 years coming right out of university. I've been in the coaching world since March of 2014. So I just celebrated 11 years of helping coaches recently with it. That's a lot to condense 20 some years into. But the interesting thing, which is, I guess, relevant for this topic today, is a lot of what I've learned about charging my worth and increasing coaching fees and stuff actually came from my background in real estate. Because in real estate, you're constantly trying to defend your commission. Of course, sellers want to beat it down and they all think, oh, real estate agents are greedy and they're getting paid way too much to open a door or put a sign up and whatever. But I've transferred a lot of those lessons over to what we're going to be talking about today. And I really hate to see coaches struggling. And I find far too many coaches are charging peanuts or charging nothing in some cases, which it shouldn't be what they're doing. So I'm all about them charging. And now it has to be a fair fee, of course. As much as I would love to say, hey, I'm charging $10 million today for a year to work with me, here's my PayPal, you got to feel good about it as well. So there's win-win.
Yeah. And I think in the coaching space, you have people who are very confident to charge very high prices, but often don't have the ability to deliver that transformation. And I think that causes a lot of coaches to be afraid of their own pricing because, you know, they hear, you know, coaching is such a scam. There's so many people out there that'll take your money and not help you. So it is that balancing act of making sure that you are delivering that transformation that you can help people get, but also earning enough money to have a good life and to be a successful business owner. What are some of the things that you help people with as far as when they're struggling with their pricing structure as a whole?
It's funny we're talking about this today because I had a call with my Natural Born Coach program. I do live weekly support calls. And one of my clients was on that call yesterday. She is in the nutrition space, like really good, knows her stuff. If you ever look at her content, you're like, oh my God, she's just a walking encyclopedia and stuff. But with her packages, she was charging very low. It worked out to $50 a call with for, I think it was 6, 8, or 12 calls. And I just said to her, I said, that you got to get that way up for what you're doing. And I'm not picking on her. A lot of coaches are in that place. And it can be counterintuitive if you're not selling much at $50 a call. Oh, geez, well, I'm going to sell even less. And if I'm at 3,000 or 5,000 for a coaching package. But what you have to remind yourself is that low fees aren't helping you because you're going to be burnout, frustrated, dealing with bills being unpaid and so on. I always say you can't coach on an empty stomach, but it's not helping the client either because if they don't have much skin in the game there, they're not going to treat it very serious. And I'm sure you guys have hired a lot of coaches. I invest in programs. The ones that I've paid more for, I'm definitely putting more into it because I'm like, geez, Mark, you've paid X thousands of dollars versus if I bought something for $50, it could sit there collecting virtual dust. I don't really care as much. But if I've paid $5,000 or more for something, I'm going to be putting more into it. So you're hurting yourself and your client if you're not charging very much.
It's funny because with my one-on-one coaching practice, pricing is one of the things we talk about a lot. And without naming the person, I'll have to share a story because I've got an interior designer and she is fantastic. You know, her website's fabulous, her content's fabulous, just like you're talking about this, the health coach. I mean, this woman is just, she's a walking billboard for interior design. She looks the part, she's amazing. And it's just so funny. Every time we talk about raising her prices, she is 100% sure no one's ever going to hire her again. And so we had to really go up in like $25 increments. And it took us like 3 years to get her to where the market average is in our area. And it's really funny. No one ever walks away. Like nobody bats an eye at the pricing. We did a lot of role playing with it so she'd feel confident like delivering what her pricing is. But it was interesting. Like psychologically, there was always this meltdown around if I go up $25, no one's going to hire me. I'm not going to have any business. And so it's fascinating because if anything, her business has grown every year that we've gone up on her pricing. So I think that's something for people to realize. It may feel that way to you. And yeah, you may miss a client or two because you're not the right person for them or the right pricing point for them. But there's someone else out there who can take that work. And there's clients for you who are more in line with what you do and how you do it and your pricing structure.
Well, one tip I give clients who are hesitant on raising their fees is to remember that you're improving every day, every year as a coach, or you should be growing, and you deserve to should be reflected in your fees. You're a much better coach than you were 365 days ago. So sometimes people justify the increases with, well, with inflation, cost of living, and stuff like that, which I get. But it's much more powerful to go, I think, the other way as opposed to say to a client. I mean, you could technically, plenty of businesses, you see restaurants, everything. Hey, we're increasing this because of the current situation. But I would approach it that, hey, I'm good at what I do and I'm much better than I was a year ago, 5 years ago. It would be silly to stay at that same fee, just keeping that in mind with it. And that could help people get over the hump. Yeah.
And there's also a perception. You know, sometimes you look at there can be two coaches who are equally qualified, but the one that costs more, you perceive as being more valuable or more experienced or whatever. So there is a perception point to that
I said that
also.
yesterday. I said, if I was in the market for your services, I didn't know you, and I saw $50 a call, I'm thinking, gee, how good is she? Even though I know that she's excellent. One of my favorite pricing stories, I won't say who it's from, but it's a fellow Coaching Jungle VIP who I know you guys know him. He was telling me when he first made a huge increase with his fees, he was very nervous because he'd never charged anything like this new price. And he had a call with prospect. Luckily, it was not a video call. It was just audio. Because you see what I mean? So when they got to a point where they're talking about working together, and the guy said, so how much do you charge for this? And the coach said that he said the price. I forget what it was. It was just probably 10 times what he previously charged. And he said he had to put his fist in his mouth to keep from saying something because human tendency would be you'd say the huge price and then you justify, but you get this and then you also get that and you get this or that. And that's why he put his fist in his mouth. And he said it was probably only 10 seconds of silence, but it felt like 10 minutes. And the guy said, great, how do I pay? And like that. So there's a tip. If anyone's having trouble, turn your video off. Just fill your mouth so you cannot say anything and talk yourself out of a sale, and you should be fine.
I love that. Yeah, it's fascinating. I just find the psychology of sales like interesting, and we are our own worst enemies. And I think it's like I love the point where you're talking about how we get better every year. I was talking to a client yesterday about using the software that we use, and it's really interesting the perception when you are well organized and you have your emails going out, and you look very professional, and you have great book a call funnels and things like that. I feel like those types of things can also help us raise our prices because you just come across as so much more professional. And that's what she said. She said, I'm so looking forward to this because anytime I book something with you or Jeannie, she's like, I'm always just so impressed with the process of the technology. And I want that. So I guess, are there other things that you feel like people can do to help them have the confidence to build their business and grow their pricing and things like that.
That's going to sound really common sense, but it's something that has to be said, because I'm noticing something in the coaching world is there are a lot of coaches who show up late for calls. And you guys are like me, because we were both early for this call. If you're not early, you're late. And that probably comes from my past life in real estate. I was so paranoid that if I showed up at a house 5 minutes after the scheduled appointment, I'd be out a big commission and it would be awful. So I always factored in, okay, even though I'm in not a huge city in Canada, Atlanta, Canada, I would factor in traffic as if I'm in New York City, just in case, and get there. So you have to treat it like a business. And I say OTB, that's on the ball. I can't get over how many times, like mentioned, someone will show up 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes past the hour. I just had a situation a couple of days ago where I got a booking request for someone who wants to hire me as a coach. And I thought, gee, that name sounds really familiar. I think he was a no-show recently. So I looked through my calendar, and sure enough, about a month ago, he didn't show up for the call. And I wait 5 minutes and then I'm gone. If you're not there within 5 minutes, I'm not going to wait 30 minutes for you. And I just rejected the request with the scheduler. And I said, sorry, you no-showed on this date. I can't accept this call. If you're not able to manage your calendar and show up on calls when you're supposed to, then you're not going to have much luck increasing your fees and charging high prices, because it's that professionalism. Same thing like you guys talked about with all your systems, which I know from booking this interview and everything else, you're on the ball with all that stuff. Sounds like common sense, but I would say that 20% of coaches get it. The other 80% are way too nonchalant and they're not professional with their business.
I'm like you. If I'm running late for anything, my anxiety is through the roof. And it's fascinating because life happens to all of us. If that guy had sent you an email of just even a minute or two ahead of time and said, I am so sorry, I'm not going to make it. This just happened in my life, or something just happened. It's catastrophic. I'll mess up to you. Just that little bit of effort to be able to say, I'm sorry. It's funny, we had someone booked today for a 12 o'clock interview. And we send out email messages, we send out text messages. So she's gotten plenty of messages up until today. And her message to us was, I've got a 12 o'clock appointment today. This was not on my calendar. That's all she said to us. Like, not, I'm really sorry. Like, as if we had snuck in and booked her on our podcast without ever telling her, right? She filled out the form. She picked out the date. She applied to be on here. And I told Jeannie, like, if she applies again to be on, I'm going to do exactly what you did. I'm just going to cancel and say, no, we need guests who are actually going to show up. We come on these interviews because we have lots and lots of interns in our intern program that we're training for our clients, and we need content for them. So we need people who value our time and appreciate the opportunity to be on a podcast. But yeah, that was crazy to me.
Yeah, it's strange. I guess in the online space, you're going to run into people like that. I always like the ones that refuse to book into my calendar. I'm going to have to get up at 3 a.m. my time to talk to them, because don't you know who I am? Those type people. I don't run into them often, but you do sometimes in your travels. So yeah, it's the same with our businesses, is we can choose who to work with and who not to work with. And I get that life gets in the way. If that fellow had emailed me a day later, 2 days later, Mark, I'm so sorry, my kid was sick, I was late getting my car to get the oil changed, it was just a crazy day, I really should have messed you, of course I would have been like, no problem, just book in. But to just assume that I'll reschedule because you put in another request, no, I won't do it. So there's nothing wrong, I always say to coaches, with if someone books into your calendar, if you're not sure about it, you can send a quick message. Hey, what were you looking to get out of this call? I want to make sure that I'm prepared for it. And I don't know you, so how can I help? And if they don't answer that, that's telling you you're probably saving time by rejecting the schedule.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Most coaches will bend over backwards. Like, I will work as hard as you work to make your business grow. Like, and I know that's the way you are too. Like, I am committed to helping you, and I'll do anything in my power if I see that you are also trying to make your business grow. But it is important to have those boundaries around our time and how we're spending our energy, and letting people know, like, I'm here to support a lot of different people and I need your commitment. Your commitment to yourself is what really is going to change your life, not me. Like, we're just a coach. Your commitment to yourself and achieving your goals is what matters the most. But I am as committed to you as you are as far as achieving your goals.
Good way to look at it.
So if somebody were thinking, yeah, I know I need to raise my prices, but I just don't know what to do. I mean, I would obviously say hire a coach because you sometimes just need somebody to help you with that backbone. I know I did. But what would you say like would be their first step? We talked about some things like making sure that you're on time and that type of thing. But actually, your prices, is it a percentage? Is it figure out what the market is doing? Where would you start with them?
So I think with coaching, it's different than service providers that are often constrained. But well, take, for example, you guys know my brother. He's a podcast editor and he does really well. He's got some big clients. He's been at it since 2015. Every September, he sends a letter out. Hey, FYI, in January, the fee's going to go up to this. Now, he's not doubling it or anything like that. He's keeping in mind, I think he could probably even be higher with his experience and what he's doing, but he might go up 5% or maybe 10% a year. It's nothing crazy. Coaching, I would go another approach. If you're charging, we'll just say, for example, you've got a 3-month coaching program and you're at $1,000, which I believe is way too low. But anyways, I wouldn't say, okay, I'm going to bump it up to $1,100 and then kind of go up. I think you're better off bumping up in that case, you know, $3,000, as long as you can back it up, right? Of course, with it, as opposed to just going slightly, slightly, slightly. And what I found is when you get that first sale at the higher price, then it's all of a sudden, it's oh, okay, this proof of concept, you've shattered the glass ceiling. Another tip that I use, because like anyone, I'm human, and if something's selling really well, I'm like, do I want to prep the bear and risk it? It's going well here. I shoot a really quick email off to my web guy. Hey, can you change your price on this program, on this one? And I hit send before I could change my mind. One thing to keep in mind is it's not the end of the world if you do bring your fees down a bit. So I had a program, this was, I don't know, 5 years ago, was selling great at $5,000. It was just like hotcakes. So I said, oh, I'm going to move it to $6,000, $1,000 more. And I don't know if it's because $6,000 is an uglier price than $5,000 or whatever. There was resistance there and suddenly it wasn't selling like it was before. And I said, that's fine. I moved it back down and then and we're okay. But I wouldn't have known unless I actually experimented with it. You have to play a bit of a Jedi mind trick on yourself. The hardest person to convince is you. Once you convince yourself that you're worth every penny, then the prospect's easy. I feel like a lot of coaches haven't convinced themselves yet, and that's where they're running into trouble. You can tell energetically they have a really good discovery call with someone. Then it gets into that awkward shift where you're talking about working together. And if someone says, well, how much will it be to work with you? And if there's any hesitation or if you're wobbly on that, you're like, well, it's $5,000. That's not a very strong pushing it out there. It should be, it's $5,000. I can take PayPal or if you'd prefer Stripe, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and you could probably practice it with them too, because it might take a few times for somebody to get comfortable saying that bold and strong yeah. and confident.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of our challenges, or my challenges, since I take the sales calls, is, you know, our program is the flat $4,900. However, once they hire their virtual assistant, they're paying their virtual assistant $250 a month. So I kind of have to go over both of those pricing models. And I have to explain that you're getting this trained virtual assistant and you're getting all of our support and helping you build your YouTube channel or your podcast. But we're also not marking up the labor of your virtual assistant. And I think for so many people, I've realized they don't know what that means unless they've ever hired an agency. So I'm trying to get better about saying, you know, if you were to go to a marketing agency or an outsourcing agency, to get the same support that you're going to get from one of our trained virtual assistants, you're going to pay on average $1,200 a month. Where going through this program and getting into the structure, you can have someone on your team for $250 a month to $300 a month. So it's interesting, like understanding, I think we have to understand what our clients know and don't know, because sometimes there's a great value there, but they don't have anything to compare it to.
And then there, you always have to remind them, what's it going to cost you to not make this move? And it's not just monetary. There could be health, sleepless nights, and so on. Yeah. One book I'd recommend, actually a movie too, speaking of sales and belief and everything. One of my favorite movies is The Founder, about Ray Kroc, who put McDonald's on the map. And then he also has, the book was written in the late 70s, I believe, called Grinding It Out, Ray Kroc wrote. And in that book, he dives into a lot of sales things. So before he got started with McDonald's and everything, he was selling multi-mixers to restaurants in the early 50s in the States. And I won't spoil it or whatever, but he was running into objections because the multi-mixers he had could do six milkshakes at a time instead of just one. So he was telling restaurants, hey, you could now sell way more because you're not waiting for the old one. You have to do one mix and then maybe it's dirty. You got to clean it. And they would have a couple of them, but still be a slow process. But the challenge he was having was the restaurant owner was like, yeah, but what if your multi-mixer breaks? Then I can't make any. So if I have a couple individual ones, the chances of each of those solo ones breaking are nil. So I'd rather just sell fewer or whatever. And he talks about how he gets around stuff like that. But in the movie, you'll see how he listened to a record throughout, like in the hotel room and things. And I think it's based on Norman Vincent Peale, probably. And it's all the power of positive thinking type stuff. And just that it's a really motivating and movie and book. So I recommend anyone interested in this topic to check those out.
Yeah, I definitely heard. I think I saw the movie a while back, but I'll definitely check out the book because it does make a difference for us to constantly be reading about sales and marketing and pricing because we forget. Like everybody who's gone before us has had these same struggles, and we can learn from what they've done, and it empowers us to feel like, okay, if they did it, we can do it.
Yeah, and turn the news off. I'm not saying you don't want to be plugged in and know what's going on, but especially nowadays where you're hearing about tariffs, recessions, all that, if you're consuming that 24/7, it's going to be very tough to feel confident about raising your fees because you think, oh, geez, people can't pay their mortgages or buy their groceries, or why would they hire a coach or whatever service that you have? I'm very careful now curating my social media feeds. If there's someone in there that's negative and they're constantly posting politics five times a day and griping about this and that, I'm like, no, I'm going to snooze them or unfriend them. And it makes it much easier. So you want to be careful of those outside forces. Same with the news. I'd rather listen to a good audio book than that. I love serious radio. I'm a political nut and I listen to political shows, but lately I've been doing more audio books just to keep the negative stuff out of my brain.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I'm not sure if it's true, but they say more millionaires are made during recessions. Not that I want a recession, but the point is you can make money in any given market if you're determined to. And I think you do have a huge advantage if you're not listening to the news, right? If you're listening to all the positive things. And I think that that gives you a leg up against a lot of your competition because if they are consuming a ton of news and they're in that negative and they're in that fear mode, that just means you have a bigger opportunity to win.
Well, another story from my real estate days, back when I was a young agent just getting started, I was 21 and I looked 14 or 15. I didn't have a gray beard back then. And I don't know what I weighed to be like, get this kid a sandwich, a wind would blow him over. But I remember talking with an agent in my office who had been in the business for a long time. So this would have been around 2000-ish that I got started. Yeah, 2000. And she started, I forget when, the late 70s or something. And I asked her a question because she had lived through the crazy interest rate times of like 1980-ish, where it'd be 22% interest rates for mortgage, like a credit card. And I said to her, I said, geez, did you find that hard or whatever? And she said, those were some of my best years because it weeded out all the weaker agents that normally they weren't selling a whole lot, but if you have enough of them in a market, they're pulling away sales. And when there's something like that, tough economic times, it pushes those ones out. And then the ones who are able to withstand it are going to do better. They're going to pick up that. And I see the same thing with the online space. So many coaches started around COVID. I thought it was busy in 2014, but after 2020, everybody's a coach and jumping in. Well, now they're going back to jobs and other things because they just can't make a go of it. And it's going to leave more for us. So that's another way to flip it around and look at it.
Yeah, we work with a lot of real estate agents. I didn't know your background was real estate because that's actually mine too. So our two target markets are coaches and real estate agents. But it's interesting. We're seeing a lot of agents who are coming into the business and their age doesn't matter. Some of them are younger, but some of them, second career later in life, and they are killing it because they're beat down. They're not coming off this heyday of easy making money. They're just so excited to be in real estate. And they're leveraging video marketing, they're leveraging automations, they're going into real estate with a different mindset, and those people are winning. And it's amazing to me. So a lot of the agents who've been around, even if they've survived tough times before, it's easy to beat down or to not want to try new things. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this market shakes out the real estate business.
It's funny because for the first probably 2, 3 years that I was in real estate, I was the youngest in my marketplace of 300 and some agents. And the most agents were the 60, 65-year-old types that have been at it a long time. And I look at it now, I've been out of it for 15 years, and I see just different things through social media and stuff with agents like dry humping a for sale sign and doing dances around it, like a stripper pole and stuff. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm glad I'm not in it anymore. I'm not that.
I don't think
Hello.
that's the kind of marketing we're talking about.
Yeah, there's some that's a weird, it's kind of strange. But then again, the coaching world's the same way because I've seen weird stuff like that too. So yeah, it's
Okay. I
I
usually
didn't
try
mean
to
to make
pause.
things
You left us speechless.
awkward. I always try to pause to give Jeannie a chance to talk because I tend to jump in quickly. But I was also going to say, in my county alone in Sarasota, there are like 9,000 real estate agents.
Crazy. Yeah.
In my county.
Wow. It's yeah. But I think there, I've noticed a lot of similarities between real estate and coaching. And I say overall, I'm happy as in real estate for so long because it instilled a lot of good habits around discipline, work ethic, maybe a little too much because I can tend to be a workaholic now with it. But I think anything that you're doing, whether you're selling real estate, coaching, insurance, anything like that, a lot of the principles are the same across the board. And I'm really glad we talked about this today because I feel like a lot of coaches are undercharging by a lot and they don't even realize it. They're like that old parable of the elephant that when it was a baby was tied to the wooden stake. And then when it grows up to be a big elephant, it could easily just rip it out, but it's been conditioned to stay where it's at. And I feel it's the same way with coaches. What you don't want to do is the coaching world and online space of Wild West. You don't want to start comparing and saying, well, Joe's charging this much, Mary's charging this much, they're doing that. You'll drive yourself crazy. There is a little bit more where you got to pull back and say, this is what I feel good about. I feel great about the results I can give, and it's worth it. So, my main coaching program for the Natural Born Coach program is 5K. I feel good about it because it's showing coaches how to get to a six. It's funny, the title of this podcast, to get to a six-figure business, and then they can rinse and repeat it every year. So not going out there and saying, hey, you're going to make $10 million your first year, pay me $5,000. But if they're getting to a $100,000 business and then they're going to continue doing stuff in future years, it should be a no-brainer, $5,000. It'd be weird if I was charging $500 for that. There's a disconnect with the results and what I'm charging. So I could probably charge more. I feel good with this, and we'll go with it for now. But there's a little bit of that gut feel.
Yeah, you have to
I agree.
think about the gut and being afraid to take a step and bump it up a little bit. I've read too that they say, you should be just a little uncomfortable with what you're charging, but be brave and be bold and be confident about it.
Well, you have nothing to lose. If you're not selling anything or you're selling very little, then you have nothing to lose by rolling the dice and bumping it up. And that's the way I would look at it.
I love that. That's truth bomb right there, everyone. If you're not selling a lot, there's no risk in rolling the dice and bumping up your pricing. I think that's true.
I love that. Well, Mark, this is always so much fun when we get to talk to you. You are a wealth of information. You are such a superstar, supporting coaches and entrepreneurs. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.